Welcome to the Hacktivist Podcast, conversations that matter.
And welcome to another episode of the Hacktivist Podcast. We'll be continuing our conversation from the previous episode. My name is Michael, and I was in a conversation with Michael.
Michael, another Michael too.
We'll pick up from where we left off. Where we left off was depression in senior high. Did you continue directly into uni after senior high, and did your disposition change?
Right, so I think somehow when I got out of senior high school and I came home, I think there was a whole reset button. I think I realized that, hey, you're in a different place. There's not the same place you were in, so I became the perfect, you know, church going boy like they expected me to be. So I wasn't sort of dealing with the thorny questions, the internal questions. I mean, if you're a Christian, you're all your everything was cut out for you. You're supposed to do this. You're supposed to do this. There's not much room for creativity or going outside the box. You did what has been set in stone, literally. Yeah. The Ten Commandments. So that was that for me. So, but I didn't go to uni straight away. I think there was financial problems. Mm-hmm. So 1 year was at home, and I tried to be as much of a Christian as I could possibly be. Mm-hmm. I read. I had this library around Medina that I always went to, but it was not. I was mostly reading to fill the void. I thought bad that I was not going to school, even though I knew I'd gotten the grades necessary. So, but then the next year, I managed to convince my dad that, okay, so this is the course I want to do. I wanted to do ICT education. I knew that was the only, because I did science, at the time there was a bit of a rule saying that you had to, I wanted to do English, but you had to have done literature in senior high school before you got there. So I was like, okay, so it means that I'm stuck to the science pathway. So I looked through biology, physics, chemistry, all of those education, inter-science education. I was like, oh, no, hell no. I hated it when I was on the other side. I'm definitely not going to sit here and then teach other people that. So I had to turn to the applied science, ICT, for like a good place. And then I must say that I was particularly ignorant about the course. From what I knew about ICT in senior high school, it was what is a mouse, what is a keyboard, input devices, output devices. So I was like, okay, so if that's what they're teaching us, that's what we're also going to learn, how to teach them. So I thought that was what I was going to learn. Imagine my surprise. So when I looked at the course, the courses I'm going to do for the 4 years, I was like, what? What the hell am I signed up for? Because I had literally no knowledge. At that time, I remember one funny thing which happened. I knew when I looked at the course outlines, I knew that I was going to do computer programming. One of our teachers had mentioned vaguely PHP somewhere. So when people met me and I was like, oh, you're going to the ICT, right? Oh, nice. Oh, so you like computers? Like, yeah. So do you program? And I'd be like, yes. Like, which language? PHP. They'd be like, oh, PHP, but have you done HTML or CSS? I'd be like, no, PHP. They'd be like, I'm like, no, PHP, yes. And then I was so adamant. Yeah. So later that I got a joke, why they didn't believe me, obviously, after I've gone through HTML or CSS before. Yeah, but so just by the way. So I went to university, of course, I was still. There was no struggles. I'd gotten a framework which worked for me. Christianity worked for me. But at that time, I'd gotten my first phone. I also didn't have a phone until when I was about to enter uni. During the 1 year that I was not going to school, I was teaching at a private school. So I had a little bit of income to get a phone. And with that phone, I was able to go online. I had a Facebook account then. Yeah, when you look at my Facebook account from those years, it was corny because I had no way to connect with people. Mm-hmm. I just put pictures and weird stuff there. Because in my mind, that was the cool thing to do. Yeah. I took very weird pictures and just posted it. Because I didn't know what cool was or whatever Facebook is for.
I don't think we still know what cool is.
I know, right? Just did things because, well. And I post jokes that I alone and possibly one other nerd could get. So, yeah, about Star Trek, Klingon and whatever. And I thought, well, this is swank, this is intelligent. I mean, they didn't get it because they're not smart, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm better than them, that kind of thing. Yeah, well. So that was it. But then, I joined a lot of Christian forums, but some of the pages were not necessarily Christian, but it was more Christian versus atheist. Yes, but I joined because it was evident atheists are idiots.
Yeah.
There's a God and he created a world in 6 days and everything. So yeah. I was like, let me go show these atheists who don't know nothing, who obviously came yesterday.
Yes.
Let me show them what is what. Mm-hmm. So I'll go debate. Of course, they will ship me most of the time. But then, for the most part, maybe now that I'm seeing it, but most of the debaters were not very skillful. So I was able to also ship back with ad hominems and slippery. I mean, it's kind of stuck. If you are arguing from the other side, it's quite easier. You have 2,000 years of theology behind you. You have a lot of argument to slip out of. I mean, if the other person doesn't know what he's doing, right? So I could always do that and felt very smart indeed. I mean, all the scientists, atheists, I've managed to impress them with my logic that they're running. Most of the time, I think they just get fed up. Which is why I don't usually encourage atheists to sort of give up on the whole thing. Be like, well, there's nothing you can do to change your mind. Someone is sitting there and going like, the reason why they don't have anything, they're not saying anything is because they don't have anything to say.
Yeah.
And that was, I got the impression that, well, this atheism thing is just people who are not very smart, who can't think things through.
Mm-hmm.
I, who have thought things through, I see this argument there, but the answer is obviously this.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, maybe it's not true that God created the world in 7 days, but days can mean a lot of things. In Hebrew, days mean this, and obviously this atheist had not considered that. So, it's still Christian 1-0.
Yeah.
Take that, atheist. So that was it. And then I think the people realizing, I don't know, just didn't. So I just went on living the Christian life and I went to university. But then I think when I entered university, I had friends from University of Ghana and they said usually some of the general courses they do was common skills and then critical thinking.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, okay, how about let me get ahead of the loop? Mm-hmm. I didn't know exactly what I'll do as an elective ICT, but I knew that okay, so the general courses are going to be comp skills, and so I was like, okay, let me get ahead of them and try to read. So I got some books on critical thinking. You can guess what happens next. So like I said, I was someone who got committed to stuff. If the thing made sense to me, I could think it. I was like, okay, so obviously this. So come on, let's do it like this. So I kept reading about it, the need for evidence, critical thinking is not necessarily atheistic in its output.
No.
Someone, a Christian can use critical thinking and come to different results from you. There's going to be inbuilt biases and all that, yes, but still that. I mean, there are very smart people who are Christian and who believe what they do. Yes, who are able to compartmentalize that. Yes, so, but for me, I thought, well, if this book, this Bible that I'd read 3 times, the last 2 times, I didn't read the numbers bit, which was boring as hell.
Don't worry. I think I skipped Malachi.
Yeah, I mean, some of the prophets were so boring, doom and gloom and woe unto Tyre, woe unto Sidon, woe unto... Don't give a fuck what you say.
Which one is after Ezekiel?
Lamentations.
I got to Lamentations. I read the first chapter, I was like, this nigga was
awesome. I know, it's just gone.
Be interesting a bit. It's so repetitive.
They kept, and the thing was, I was in a way cursed and blessed with some amount of long memory. So What I read, for example, a lot of people, a lot of Christians don't realize that the Ten Commandments is not really a Ten Commandments. It's repeated multiple times and in various ways. So I'll be like, no, I've read this thing. And I just compare, I was like, something is not really. But then when you, in church, when you ask those kind of questions, you'll be like, well, it's the devil testing you, so keep praying. You don't have enough faith. Or do you just say that, the quote an Exodus verse, which basically says that, there are some things that God's glory lock away from humans.
Yeah.
So no matter how you puzzle over it, you're not going to know. I think that's in some way the agnostic argument, right?
Yeah. let me point this out, that your love for fiction, right, resulted in you spotting those.
Exactly, because
inaccuracy. Because in fiction, right,
the plot has to make sense.
Plot,
yes.
And the plot has to make sense.
Exactly. Like, rigid rules.
It's just like that.
Yeah.
And it's because that's how life is.
Mm.
Life is a story. No matter how, like, you look at it, life is a story that we write every single day.
Exactly.
And it has to make sense. Like, the logical inconsistencies in the Bible, I spotted it very early.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, the way I rationalized it was, oh, different authors, different perspectives.
Mm-hmm.
Because most of the novels I read is a single author.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a single perspective.
Right.
Like, okay, maybe different authors, different perspectives.
Mm-hmm.
But then some of the inconsistencies are like so antithetical
that
there's no way they will exist in the same paradigm.
Right.
And then that kind of pushed me.
And one other thing was this. In my church, the Church of Pentecost, the first, our first tenet, we have a list of 10, now it's 11 tenets. And the first tenet is the Bible. And then when you read it, it says that it's comprehensive. And also that every letter is true.
Mm-hmm.
It's word and letter perfect. And it is sufficient in its sufficiency.
Yeah. Which you don't need anything else.
Exactly. It covered everything and it was okay for everything.
Yeah.
So that was, I approached it with a fundamentalist outlook that every letter in this book is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for me, it was quite straightforward.
Mm-hmm.
God is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
He inspired this book.
Yeah.
Ergo, the book is going to be perfect. I mean, this is the smartest person ever.
Yeah.
Since
he wouldn't make such dumb mistakes,
obviously not. Like, he's going to think about it. It's like, oh, okay, like, come on.
Yeah, but
like,
then you look at
even inspired the authors, and then maybe Jeremiah is writing this. Like, dude, Jeremiah, come on, man. I wouldn't say this.
Exactly.
Move it this way. See, so either God was sleeping on the job, or he's not particularly interested in some weird prophets writing down what they think they heard from me, or it's just, well, let them forget it. You know, sometimes I wonder, I know this is not on topic, but sometimes I wonder that Christians or the religious make such big claims for their God.
Mm-hmm.
There could be someone who's very powerful, but just don't give a shit. Like, there could be a pothead God.
Yes.
I mean, like, yes, I have the power. I can be.
There is no pothead God.
are you an atheist?
On pothead gods?
I mean, there could be an underachieving God.
Yeah.
Who would be like, yes, I have all the power. I was born like this.
Yeah.
And whatever, I can literally snap this, but I can't be bothered.
I can't be bothered.
Yes, let him kill it.
Yeah.
I mean, when we go out and we see ants.
Yeah.
Do we spend the thought and say, okay, so let me check out which aunt is suffering, is being raped right now.
Exactly.
We don't do that, so we're like, let's go. It's not as if I'm bad or good. I just can't be bothered. Let them fight. I mean, if you look at this, and I think I liked science a lot. So when you read, about the position of in our cosmos, then I feel like, well, it means we are special.
Mm-hmm.
Look at how where we are.
Yeah.
This is
the argument goes, but this is the beauty of science, right?
Yeah.
Is that it just lays
gives
down
you
the facts.
You are the
However,
one.
However, your interpretation of the facts can go both ways.
Mm.
Like, you can get the same number. How come you have the same numbers for the climate getting warmer?
Mm-hmm.
You are getting different interpretations.
Yeah.
Even though, like, obviously, we know what is happening.
Right.
Yeah, so it boils down to that.
Mm.
Continue the conversation, right?
Yeah.
So, in the uni, you find yourself going down
the critical thinking.
The critical thinking, right?
Yeah.
And again, you want to be honest to yourself,
right?
So, intellectual honesty with coupled with critical thinking,
right?
led you to which philosophy first?
Right, so here I was. So when I started reading the critical thinking books, I liked it in a way because the logic makes for me. I was like, I was a bit argumentative at the time. Oh. I liked debates and all that. Yeah. So I was like, well, if I could get more of this critical thinking thing, yeah. I could ship this obvious idiot into the chair to talk to me. Yeah. So yeah. Oh, for those who don't get sarcasm, I really don't mean that these are idiots. So I was like, okay, let me get more of this critical thinking, which is like a magic way to get people to agree with what we say mm-hmm. and to prove to others that they're smart and their way of thinking is stupid. So I was like, okay, yeah, let's do that. And I feel like armed with this new tools, I'm going to meet the atheist again. Mm-hmm. Right. So I went online and I specifically sought out the atheist that I used to combat. One of them was P Flame.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
So I was like, hey, P Flame, guess what? I can prove my God better than me. Mm-hmm. So we started dancing as a way. Then I realized that much of his point mm-hmm. followed.
Critical thinking.
Yes, matching my supposed new weapons. I realized that it followed. So I was like, whoa. So I broke off contact with him. I started to find people.
Fear of reason.
Yes, I started to find out people from my side who are obviously smart, mm-hmm. the Christian side, who
have fixed
it. Yes. So I go.
No.
Right. So I got C.S. Lewis. I got the Christian for life. I can't remember. Thomas Aquinas, Anselm. All of them. I started to read their philosophy, their thinking. And there's so many of them, and they all sort of. I mean, they were a bit, you know, gymnasticky, mm-hmm. but they sort of fit a sort of logic mm-hmm. according to them. Yeah. I mean, logic can be a two-way.
Yeah, you can have a flawed premise and a very logical argument.
So that was it. And then, of course, the basis of religion itself in itself is flawed. Mm-hmm. It makes you, before...
It makes pre
a lot of assumptions yeah. that you can only...
So, again, there is nothing wrong with the way the religious think. What is wrong is the initial premise. Mm. Because in engineering, right, you get to understand that in trying to come to a solution, right, on any problem, there are more than 10 variables.
Right.
You cannot work mathematically mm-hmm. on anything within reason mm-hmm. with more than 3 variables.
Right.
4 variables or noon. Mm-hmm. You start getting into like serious complications. Mm-hmm. So we know this. So we hold certain assumptions mm-hmm. constant mm-hmm. so that we can be able to get mm-hmm. a solution.
Right. So that's what most they don't get, that all this you're making very, very big assumptions, and this is what most of the unskilled atheist mm-hmm. Debaters do. They poke holes at the assumptions, mm-hmm. but the thing is, the person is only working. The person's works with that argument because he holds those assumptions to be assumptive.
Yeah, to be true.
Yes, it's self-evident that of course there should be a God.
Yeah,
what we're arguing about is whether he's good or bad.
Yeah.
But then he's there. Why exactly. are you bringing up that the fact that he's not there?
Yeah.
The person doesn't get you on that front.
Yeah.
To him, he's trying to make you see that God loves you. You are saying that he doesn't love you. But why are you bringing up the argument that he doesn't exist in the first place? No, it's automatic. We're talking about different.
Yeah.
So that was it. So it took a while to get to me. And then also, I had a first girlfriend. Mm-hmm. I had a first girlfriend. And I guess adult thing. So for me, I thought, well, God has done well for me. Mm-hmm. My gay is gone. Mm-hmm. And I have a girlfriend. Quote unquote functioning member of society. Mm-hmm. So yeah, then like people in uni do, who have a lot of time on their hands and suddenly having a room to themselves and away from parental influence and
a lot of sex.
Oh yes. Then I realized I liked it.
Yeah.
But I've also been a good Christian.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you can't fornication, so you can't do that. So I would go pray, oh Lord. Let me not do it again. I'm sure. Obviously, she's cute, and we are talking, and before we realize, yes. So it kept on happening. I'll pray, then boom, like that. Boom. So after some time, I was like,
maybe God wants you.
Yeah, I was like, whoa. That was the basic argument. That was the lower part of my mind thinking like that. But the higher part it was like, well, human nature, right?
Yeah.
You can't really change it.
Mm-hmm.
But the person who created it like that mm-hmm. saw that. So for me, I thought it was really unfair. I mean, why would you, an omniscient being, omnipotent,
mm-hmm.
say, okay, I'm going to implant all of this very powerful impulses in you?
Mm-hmm.
Very powerful. I think we were watching this morning. It was like a rat who is kept in the cage,
mm-hmm.
where if you press, you get an orgasm.
Yeah.
You continue pressing.
Until
you
forget. Die. We forget about food.
Yes. You put all of these impulses in a creature who is basically one chromosome above a chimpanzee,
yeah.
and expect the person to say, okay, no, I'm going to make sure that I deny these impulses all
yeah.
the time.
Yeah.
Sorry, is the podcast still going on?
Yes. I'll edit this for that. I won't. The name of the person who interrupted this is Eugene.
So that was it. And so I realized that, oh, okay, no, this thing is not fair. Because I have little brothers at home.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm going out, I don't leave the bottle of honey on the kitchen table.
Yeah.
No matter how much I trust them and like them or whatever.
No,
come on! I would keep it away
mm-hmm.
and say, okay, guys, there's nothing at all going on. Just please. But someone's mind will not even come on.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm 16, 17 at the time. How come a being would do that, instantly plant the tree
mm-hmm.
there and say, okay, this is good and evil. If you eat this, you become like me,
yeah.
the powerful being.
Yeah.
And but don't eat it, because yeah. if you do, you die.
Yeah.
Come on. For me, I just felt so unfair. And then I think the unfairness, of course, was attached to a point of me not having sex with a girlfriend that I've actually got. So that too, then I started to also meet people who are gay and were open about it and were talking to me about it, and I also felt attracted to them. So now this
is the
sort of confusion state.
Yeah.
I started to reach for something which makes sense. So I tend to reason.
Mm-hmm.
So I started to read from the other side.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything which can explain all of this nonsense and for me and fits this model? So I started reading about the science behind how we behave
mm-hmm.
and all that. I think they make good points. Evolution. So of course, obviously, for most of when we talk about behaviorals, most of the time moves back to evolution.
Yeah.
Why do we come in groups because of the evolution thing? So I started reading about evolution itself. I was like, oh, this actually, you know, it fits. I didn't need to invent that. So I started to read more about science. Then obviously, when you're looking for those particular things, you come across the path of Dawkins.
Yeah.
So from Dawkins, like, the guy writes well. He has some good points. So I read all his other books. Then boom.
But then you were still calling yourself a Christian.
Yes, I still call myself a Christian.
Yeah.
I still attended. For me, I thought it was questioning.
Yeah.
I called myself questioning. I thought, well, Job had very deep questions. David.
He pretty much lost his mom and dad and wife.
Yes. And
are you ready to make that sacrifice?
Well, at the time, no, that's a good one. But at the time, I thought, well, this is a man.
Well, okay, he lost his wife and kids, and since you don't have wife or kids.
Yes, well, and I think the point was he went through adversity
mm-hmm.
brought on by his commitment to God. And at the time, I was going through adversity, wasn't by my commitment to God. If I was not committed to God, I wouldn't blink twice about having sex with my girlfriend
and being gay
or whatever. So I thought, well, the parallels were there. And Job was not afraid to question God.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, well, let me question him through all of this. And at the end, Job was God vindicated himself.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, so if at a point God vindicates himself, cool.
Yeah.
But the more I kept reading, and you know the thing, you can't be a little bit heretic.
Yeah.
The corruption,
it keeps going.
It's a slow process, but when it gets you, it does get you.
Mm-hmm.
So I kept reading, like Christopher Hitchens was, I don't know, was my angel in dark armor. I watched his debate. I was like, when you watch the man debate, yes, sometimes arguments can be like a little bit flawed, but. Like, well,
a little bit, really.
Well, he was a saint in my eyes, so obviously I'll say
yes,
sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But he was okay, yes. So this is it. This is that argument, and that is it. So I went back online,
mm-hmm.
and I saw some of the groups that Piflin was in. No, yeah, so he was in a free thinkers group.
Mm-hmm.
Then from there, I got to meet you, and I think.
Mm-hmm.
So when we talk about stuff, I was like, oh, the thoughts, the jive.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, LGBT people. LGBT people are people mm-hmm. and should recognize as such. Mm-hmm. It's okay to have doubts about God. Mm-hmm. And one thing I also like that for I think humanism is more chill. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, you guys got this, but don't take your fingers off the little boys mm-hmm. and the little children. Yeah. Just take your hands off them. Don't use your religion to cause other people to chop off other people's head. But we don't care what you do in your thing. And I think for me, I think I had a soft spot for Christianity at the time. Even though, so I think when I used to come for meetings, I used to say recovering Christian, right?
Yeah.
Yes, I still had a soft spot for, because I mean, I grew up in that for a long time. Those are things for me. But
I still identify as a cultural Christian.
Right. So, and, you know, yeah, so
it's strange enough, you cannot let that, like, I still will break out in song if, like, the hymn is good.
Mm. Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. The animosity, we still have family who are believers. Mm-hmm. We understand the disease that has afflicted them. And if I don't discriminate against persons with disabilities, well, like,
I know. I mean, yes. I mean, within our own circles, we celebrate so much.
Yeah.
I mean,
even within the
woke people.
Even among the woke people, sometimes you hear some arguments and you're apply the critical.
Mm-hmm. And even there, we sort of celebrate that.
Yeah.
So, how much more those who, for want of a better word, have not seen the light? So, I mean, there's that. Yeah. I think, for example, when we look at the National Academy of Sciences in US, mm-hmm. some percentage of them are still Christian.
A good person. Like, some of my favorite scientists, right?
Yeah, so you want.
Are believers. Uh-huh. Even in Ghana, you're like my favorite people doing science,
mm-hmm.
or my favorite people who are in academia,
right.
Mostly believers.
Yes.
Like, they can compartmentalize. Mm-hmm. And the beauty of belief is that it's malleable.
Oh, it's flexible.
It's not like facts.
Mm-hmm.
Beliefs are absolutely malleable. Unless, of course, you believe your beliefs are facts.
Mm-hmm.
In which case,
obviously,
you need to be absolutely malleable.
Mm.
For the word is.
Mm.
So, to me, right, that whole soft spot for believers, right, it's again what drew me towards humanism.
Mm.
Like you, I also grew up Christian, mm-hmm. but then also Muslim.
Wow, that's a woman.
Yeah, but then I think the two made me want to seek out for more. And the funny thing is, remember this show, Chef, what do you call it? Journey to the West?
Right, yeah, I remember that show.
No, you're too young.
I hope I've been spoken of.
Okay, good. Now you have been because I'm very
old. And I didn't watch TV at the time, so
yeah, you have to exactly.
But so, I heard it spoken of in school.
Yeah,
they could talk
about. Like I watch into it and I see a different religion. I see like Buddhism and then Hinduism and people lighting incense.
Mm-hmm.
It was different from the Catholics lighting incense. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, let me learn about this. Let me go read about. So it's like TV and everything, and then. Again, escapism, right? You can escape into that world.
Mm-hmm.
You can escape into Shifu's world. Like, now if I know more about the temples mm-hmm. and I'm watching the show,
mm-hmm.
I can be able to spot something that somebody sitting by me who don't know.
Right.
And me always knowing something that somebody doesn't know,
mm-hmm.
like gave me that edge, mm-hmm. like gave me that high that mm-hmm. I was looking for. Like, okay, I may be a nerd or effeminate or mm-hmm. weird or quirky or whatever, but better than me.
Right. Yeah. No, I can relate to that.
Yeah. So just wrapping up the story. Uni saw you seeking out, saw you on a journey to enlightenment. Mm-hmm. Let's say. So your previous label would have been Christian.
Mm.
And on your journey so far, what other labels are you embracing?
Right, so I think now, I think I'm a bi,
mm-hmm.
Because I'm attracted to men and women.
Mm-hmm.
I think the little research I did on that, it looks like it's normal. Mm-hmm. There are days when it's skewed towards women in their days. Yeah, so bad. But I'm also pansexual thought, okay, because
yeah.
I when I look at videos or watch transgender people, I don't, I'm okay with it. So I think I'm also, I sometimes tilt towards pan and everything. So, but I was reading about the last time about spectrum, there's the name for it.
Yeah.
That we're not just like one or.
No, we have fluid.
So everything
fluid,
just.
Yeah.
So I sort of also got that too. But I kept thinking that with my personality, the way I am, I think I'm probably going to crystallize at some point.
Yeah.
Like I'm going to settle for this. Because I don't know. That, you know, when you know yourself enough, you know that, oh,
yeah.
No, this is what's going to happen. No, like, so that one label, also humanist. I think I'm very solidly humanist. I look forward now that I'm out of school and mostly independent. I look forward to being more sort of there on the scene. I'm also, I think, for the most part, I think I'm feminist, because I grew up with my mom and looking at what a lot of the things that my mom goes through. I just wonder whether the patriarchy for most people is a boogeyman that this bitter people on radio talk about as if it's not a white man giving to them. But for me, it might sound white, or it might sound like something that one of those white men or French people writes. But then, no matter what name we give to it, it is true. Toxic masculinity have a way of creating roles or creating a narrative which pushes down some other segments of society.
Yeah.
For me, it, no matter what name, no matter what academic philosophy or discourse around it, or how most people might fall, it's a buzzword.
Yeah.
It is something which is there.
It's real absence of how we define it. Because that's how reality is. Was it Shakespeare who said a rose by any hand?
In Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah. So it doesn't really matter what we call it. It doesn't matter the buzzwords you use. If the buzzwords are what is igniting people. I mean, you see, this is the thing. We live in a paradigm where people are actually willfully ignorant.
Right.
I mean, intentionally ignorant.
Right.
And so, I still want change. I still want me. I'm not really interested in the nitty gritty. All I want is the results. I want change.
Right.
I will not spend my armor, the little energy I have, trying to point words that you'd be comfortable with.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because those words maybe are what triggers some masculinity stuff in you. So I'm not even going to use those words.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the solutions. Because sometimes I feel like the conversations become tiring.
Right.
Some people are set in stone.
Mm-hmm.
We cannot move them, but we can chisel them so that we can find a way around them.
That is helpful. So I realize that, for example, financial independence, I haven't to rely on a man for ins and out. I realize how much deprived my mother of the quality of life that she should expect as a human being, and as a fool that you call human being capable of instructions, capable of thinking, of on her own autonomy. That's also one of the first things that I learned from a humanist group was
autonomy.
About autonomy and agency.
Yeah.
And for me, it just struck as true. And apart from the religious implications, also the self-political implications was there. No matter whether I was created or evolved, as at this moment, I'm someone of my own mind and body.
Yeah.
I should be able to make decisions as I see fit. Obviously, in a paradigm where my nose doesn't go so long as to poke another person in the face.
Yeah.
But I should, apart from that, I should be able to make my own decisions.
Yeah.
I should be able to have my own directions and expressions on my own. And if I say, well, I do not believe in a God, I should be full okay,
I mean, it,
living it with you, another person.
Yeah, it's a simple axiom to every social contract. If you look at this, right, in every modern social contract, it always starts with that. And then it gets redefined or eroded along the way.
Right.
But then the basis of most social contracts is, you are your own person, I'm my own person. Yeah. And then later on, they will get ready to find out, oh, but women are half. Oh, but children are not. Oh, but these are that. But then the basis is there. The foundation is always...
Exactly. That is why the American people, the founders of America, which was supposedly founded on the rights of man and all that, right? We the people, committed to pursuit of happiness and whatever it is,
more perfect,
and in freedom, would have slaves at home and okay with it because, well, yes, the people they are part.
But then, exactly, they
did that. So for me, so coming across all of this thought, for me, it jived. I'll say feminist, because, and here's the thing, the reason why I wouldn't feel ashamed calling myself a feminist, where in another place I'll be ashamed, for example, calling myself a feminist in a place like, let's say, Western Europe, for me, the conversation is bogged down in academics, and I mean, for the most part, if I managed to push it away,
first world problems.
Yes,
let's just say, first world problems.
Over here, the people who haven't, excuse me, real problems.
Yeah,
the women who, because of a man in their life, can't get a job. Who, because of a man in their life, can't get access to healthcare. Who, because of a man in their life, can't sleep on whatever, sleep comfortably or do anything because of a man in their life. And it's not as if this man is also like this because of certain traditions in the society that he found himself through.
I mean,
the learning of
Thursday. Technically, it's not any of our faults the way we are.
Exactly. So that's what they say, we should dismantle this. I get behind it. I understand it.
Yeah.
No matter how much jargon it's couched in, I understand that this structure is not something which we can continue to live with.
It's not healthy for either gender.
Yes, so when they say on learning toxic narratives, no matter that it's couched in multi-syllabic words, this is what they mean, and this is exactly what we should do. When you speak to lots of people, you intentionally strip away the jargon, you better. Most of them working with you,
master. I speak to people, and people will argue with me on my timelines, and then DM me, and then agree with me. It's like they know what's up. Like once you break it, you break it down, they understand. Like, and the thing is, I always tell people, if you I need to start my argument by saying, you don't have a mother. To me, I shouldn't have this argument with you. You are an adult, and I have to appeal to you having a mother. Before you respect women,
that doesn't
make any sense.
And the fact that everything it works like that, we didn't have a lot of women. We didn't have women voting. We opened it for them. The heavens didn't fall down from the sky. They contributed meaningfully. A lot of our state women, people who contributed meaningfully to the thing. We said we were able to educate them. Now they fought and fought. They will push them to the higher education. We are benefiting from that. Some of our big people, our academicians, our women, and our hospitals, we say, well, we won't let you have money or on your own. You go anywhere, give the women the seeds to grow farms.
Yeah.
There you can see the GDP of them just rise because that is how you just include them. So it's very silly that you would be, these are people who are 50.something% of your nation. And you say, I'm going to intentionally subjugate you.
Capitalism is... The word I want to use is paradoxical. But then what is a nonsensical paradox?
It's still a paradox.
Because, like, it's about maximization of profits.
Mm-hmm.
How else are you going to maximize this without including everybody? Like... To me, like, that should be like the first thing.
Right.
It makes sense that if I want more profit, if I want a more efficient system, I should be able to include everybody in the system because that will increase automatically the possibility of a higher efficiency.
Right.
I don't get how even when I try to rationalize why there's oppression in society through economic eyes. I'm totally confused as to why, like, what use it, because it only increases profits temporarily in a short term. In the long term, it doesn't.
It doesn't, because these are people who would not get your product or find new ways of doing this, because you've made it open enough.
Yeah.
So they could also find their way, or just basically you would get a lot of access to their market because of what you've done. Now, a lot of companies are now sinking huge money into their companies in order to have an inclusive kind of
more ethical
advertisement and all that. So it should be a no-brainer. You should create an advert where you sort of accept a huge part of your customers. You should, like, before it leaves the office, someone should look at this advert and be like, okay, so the way we portray this black man, don't you think we'll lose, I mean, when they see themselves, someone should think that, okay, I mean, but then they don't, and they just let it go, and then later on they have to hire consultants.
You see, power doesn't make you smart though. That's what you have to realize.
They have to hire these consultants and these PR people to, let's create this.
Go find some black person in this.
Let's create this policy where, if we don't see color, you're welcome to the place anywhere. It's okay. Oh, it's a mixed bathroom now. No, it's a you can sit anywhere you want. There are no bosses. Yeah. Everyone is a manager.
It makes no sense. But that's the paradigm I'm trying to solve. So I've heard your labels now. So by feminists.
And within those three, it sort of encompasses
a lot. All right, Michael, it's been fun hearing your story. I hope our listeners enjoying getting to know you. We'll be having personal conversations like this with as many interesting folks as much as normal, as much as possible, in quotes, normal people. So today you get to hear our voices and experience our lives through our words. Until next time, stay safe.
This has been the Hacktivist Podcast. As always, think for yourself and care for others.
You can find the Hacktivist Podcast on SoundCloud. Follow us on Facebook at Hacktivist. The Hacktivist Podcast is brought to you by the Humanist Association of Ghana. Find out more on www.ghanahumanists.org.